I had an opportunity to call up Dale Lloyd, who's based in Seattle, and who, amongst other things, has been highly involved in the phonography.org list service, and also has been running a label or two, one of which is completely devoted towards putting out artists who are working with field recordings and electroacoustic music.
Hello.
Hello, is this Dale?
Yes.
Hey, Dale, this is Aaron Zim calling from San Francisco.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. Is now still a good time for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I very much appreciate you making time to talk to me.
Yeah, no problem.
So, good morning, Dale.
Good morning.
I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about how you got interested in field recordings in the first place.
Well, I think it's been a gradual thing, being involved in sound for as long as I can remember, almost. I think ever since I acquired a portable cassette recorder, I've been fascinated with just recording everyday sounds, and then eventually I got into incorporating them into pieces. I think for a long time, that's kind of the only way I thought about using field recordings, is within the context of musical pieces. It actually wasn't until probably about the mid-90s that I started thinking about listening to them and appreciating them more on their own. I think it kind of started with being kind of exposed to electronic composition like Musique Concrète and the other electroacoustic type of composition.
Did you grow up playing an instrument?
Well, when I was a child, I listened to classical music. That was pretty much all I listened to. Parents thought I was pretty strange. But and then as I grew up, I learned to like rock music.
As we all do.
Yeah, and started getting involved with the drums. My father was a drummer for a little while, so he helped get me started with that. He got me drum sets, and eventually I got into bands.
It's all been downhill since then.
Yeah, from there, still have my drum set. I just don't play it. Well, I think even when I was in the rock bands, they were still more left-of-center music, which allowed for incorporation of things like field recordings or things like that.
Did you ever use field recordings in performance in a band like that?
I was involved in the mid-90s with a group called Lucid. I suppose I still am. I'm still producing some stuff every once in a while, but the group has pretty much gone its separate ways. Still have a lot of archival music to release at some point, but with that group, it was kind of incorporating old-school Musique Concrète style into their own compositions, but also into song structure, though a lot of people didn't really see a structure in the song. They were really loose, but with the advent of that project, I really started bringing that in. We did play live for a few films. We accompanied silent films, and I did bring that in a few times with that, but I remember that's about it.
Now, when you were listening to classical in your youth, did you encounter any of the avant-garde work or the Musique Concrète work that had been done, like Pierre Henry or Pierre Schaeffer? Was that on your radar?
No, actually, I only had exposure to probably King FM at that time. I was living in Spanaway Parkland area, and late at night I would go to sleep, and I think my very first electronic piece that I heard on the radio late at night was Tomita's The Planets. And that was, of course, back in the early 70s, and that definitely had a profound effect on me when I heard that. But no, I got into Musique Concrète probably, or I got exposed to it by finding some old records at a thrift store, probably like the mid-80s.
And now you're putting out some records yourself.
Yeah, I've been involved in producing and performing various CDs over the last probably less than 10 years.
I know that the AND OAR, and I'm guessing OAR is a reference to Overheard and Rendered.
Yes.
I know that that label is currently active. That one's really focused on field recordings and people who are working with them.
AND OR is, yes. Overheard and Rendered, I started that first to use as a vehicle to get out the Lucid and other projects I've been involved with. Usually I start labels with the intent of just releasing my own stuff, and then eventually it just kind of grows into wanting to put out things that I admire that I don't think is getting put out otherwise.
I know you've got a new release on Andor, is that correct?
Yes, John Tolchin. It's just a collection of location recordings that he's done around the different parts of the United States. Very nice. He's got a good ear. We're going to do another one at some time in the future based on different recordings he did in Hawaii, and he's got some interesting sounds. He did perform some of those, or I should say play them, during the phonography performance we did back in April.
Tell me a bit about that performance. That was done under the moniker of the Phonographers Union?
Yes. I think the idea came up from Isaac. You know, we had a discussion on the local phonography-oriented list group for Seattle people here. It's mostly used to talk about shows, ideas for shows, and iron out details. But on that list group, I think Isaac possibly brought that up. Isaac Sterling, he's a member of the phonography group. He doesn't really record. He's a very good attentive listener and supporter of this stuff. He's promoted a few shows prior to this for people like Francisco Lopez and Michael Northam. So yeah, he brought it up and people liked it, and so he put the show on, and it went very well. It was actually the very first phonography show I say that in terms of using the phrase and being connected with the group.
How would you define phonography?
We had this discussion early on when the LIST group formed, and obviously it has different meanings when it probably was first used, which is probably before the last century, and it probably pertained to records and things like that. I think what we kind of came up with is that it's a different era now, and we could use that phrase with a different meaning to it. We've got different media now and different kinds of genres of sound work. To me, the obvious connection would be with photography. Actually, Isaac wrote a very good liner note thing for the program for our show regarding that. He's a little bit more eloquent with that kind of stuff.
Great. If you were handed a phonograph, what would that look like? More importantly, what would that sound like? What do you think people or you yourself are interested in when you make a phonograph?
Like a photograph, you're capturing a moment, a brief moment in time in a certain location, and of course, if the way you present it, like photography can be, you know, you can take it in the studio and then work with it or something, or edit it, or you can present it the way you feel like you want to present it, and it becomes more personalized that way. Very similar.
Now, at the Phonographers Union performance, you said that John Tolchin and probably some other people brought in recordings and simply played them. Can you describe the way the evening unfolded?
Yes, there was two halves to the night, and the first half was basically a kind of a round table type situation where all the people were sitting around this a series of tables, and they all had their own devices like CD players or DATs or mixing boards, things like that. And they pretty much started from one end and went around to connect back, each playing a bunch of recordings, fading one into the other and creating a nice long series of, well, I guess a series of recordings and just straight up presentation. The second half was more of a mix, more of a improv mix, where people just mixed recordings in where they felt like it felt good. It went really well. It was pretty interesting.
Do you think that it came together in a symphonic way, or do you think there's a completely different way of listening that's necessary to make sense of that sort of soundscape?
Well, actually, the way it came across to me was it sounded like we were listening to an electroacoustic piece created live. There are some pieces that seem to use a lot of field recordings and not so much electronics. Well, this is definitely the case where we have a recording. A recording was done at the show, and listening back on it, it definitely feels like a studio piece, but actually it was performed live.
There's a large element of serendipity, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Is that recording going to become available, do you think?
Well, there was talk early on. I'm not sure who's going to do it. There was talk that I could do it on my label. This is a brief series, but I'm not sure about it. I've listened to it a few times. I've talked to people who've listened to it with me, and not sure yet. It's a very long recording. Mark Griswold, he's a member of phonography.org, and he recorded it onto DAT. He's been burning discs for people who want copies.
And if someone wanted to get a hold of that, the best thing to do would probably be to get on the list and find his email and just write him directly?
Yeah.
As far as other products coming out of the list, I know in addition to your own label, you've been wrangling and producing the P.org compilations. Can you say a bit about that?
It started kind of early on with the list group. The idea came about to create a collection that we could pass among ourselves on the list group to kind of show what each of the people that are on the list group are doing with the field recordings and sounds and everything. And I think before the first compilation came out, we started doing an MP3 page, which was started by Jeff Carey. He still has the page. It's on the Radiant Slab website. And then he also initiated doing the compilation. So he took submissions for a while, and then I offered to just start doing them, and I've been doing them ever since.
There's now three, and a fourth one is underway?
Yes, we're currently going to be working on a fourth one, and it's different in nature than what the normal format is. The normal format is just to present straight up field or source recordings. This fourth compilation will be devoted to compositions using field recordings, because there's a lot of people on the list group that may not present straight up field recordings, but they do work with them in their compositions. So I wanted to kind of give those people, or at least some of the people, a chance to present that to the group and beyond.
If I can manage to find the time, I hope to contribute to it myself.
And great, yeah.
If the competition is too fierce, well, then I think that says something good about the state of the art form and people's interests as well. So.
Yeah, I am anticipating a lot of submissions for this compilation, because I think people have been asking about it since over a year ago.
Great.
And I occasionally get emails asking when it's coming out, and since the first comp, people from outside of the group have been buying them as well.
Now, if someone wanted to get those, they should just go to the phonography.org site. There's information there?
Yeah, you can get them through me just by emailing me, you know, dkl37@juno.com, or you can get them through Anomalous Records. They're our main distributor right now.
Excellent. So there is distribution. Do you find that there's a real draw, that people are coming out of the blue and requesting the compilations?
Yes. Yes, they've been doing pretty well. I think as each comp goes along, sales have been increasing. I heard from Anomalous that there was quite a few orders from Japan, which I thought was really interesting. So far, I haven't had a lot of people from Japan. I think it's growing, though, and we've got a few new members. I'm really pleased about the growth of the group. What I'm even more pleased about is that it seems like recently, over the last 6 months or so, we're getting more female people involved in this. I think in the beginning it was mostly guys, and that, there's nothing against guys, of course, but I like to kind of balance the energies out with a group.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, I know on one of the compilations, I believe the first one, you had a train tunnel recording?
Yes. I did a hike with a friend a couple of years ago, and we went up to the Snoqualmie train tunnel. It's an abandoned tunnel that's not being used, and people can hike through it. It's a pretty long tunnel. I went to the middle of it and set up my recording and a mic and just kind of stood there in the cold, recording the sounds from both ends. The two recordings I've done so far on the compilations have been involving acoustics of certain kinds of spaces, and kind of fascinated with that.
Is that what really drew you to put that recording on the compilation? The nature of the acoustic space?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I used that. The other reason is at the time I didn't really have that many other things I wanted to present. Having just acquired a mini disc recorder, I think I'd be able to get more satisfying recordings.
Great. Let's take a listen. When you're working over the sounds, are you working on a computer?
Yes. Yep.
And do you have tools of choice?
I have SoundForge, and I've been doing pretty well with that.
And we're definitely lucky to be living in the computer era, where these tools are readily accessible and quite powerful, relatively speaking.
Getting a computer for me has really been such a great thing because of being kind of isolated here in Seattle. I was a dialysis patient and couldn't really get out too much. Had to stay within the city limits pretty much. I had to dialyze 3 times a week. When I got the computer, that's when things started really picking up for me, because I could get on the internet and communicate with people all over the world without leaving my apartment. I've really kind of developed a lot of long-distance friendships that way, and contacts and everything like that. So
not only a tool for creation, but also a tool for contact.
Yes. Yeah, I get more email than I do phone calls.
I know how you feel. So the phonography.org site, who's really behind that?
Marcello Radulovich. He started the list group, which stemmed off of the lowercase sound list group. The purpose was to have discussions specifically about field recording. I think that it was started a couple years ago, and it's definitely grown. He maintains the website as well.
So if people are interested in the website, they should definitely contact him?
Yes, especially people that are involved with field recording. There's a phonographer's section where people can list their personal information about what they do and put a photograph, list the releases they've done, if they have any. Kind of a resource for people who are involved with field recording. You want to get your name out there a little bit more in terms of that kind of thing.
If someone's interested in participating in that, they should go up to phonography.org and track down information on how to contact Marcello. One of the things I found very interesting in working on this show and also becoming more involved in the community at large is just how many people are doing this kind of work. And you had said that the phonography list has really grown. Do you have a sense at this point of how many members are currently signed up?
There are about 200.
That's quite a number.
It fluctuates. People come and go, obviously, but last time I looked, it was 200 members. There are different people that I invite as guests on the normal compilation format, provided there's time. If we have enough time on a compilation, after all the P.org people submit stuff, then I will invite someone who's a little more known in that field to contribute something. I've done Toy Bazaar, Eric LaCasa, Richard Lehrman, different people like that.
This album by John Tolchin, are there any recordings on it that really caught your ear? Tracks that capture for you what you like about his ear and the recordings that he makes?
First track is called Fire Alarm from a Distance. It's recorded in Winter Park, Florida, and it's pretty interesting. It sounds like a drone piece, but it's actually this strange fire alarm. I've never heard one like it. It just fills the air. You hear birds and things in the background.
Like a lot of this stuff, I guess it's just something you really do just have to hear.
Yeah, you do. It's hard to describe it.
Thanks so much for talking to us, Dale.
Okay, well, thank you. Talk to you soon.
Great.
Right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.